You're listening to Catalyst Talks, conversations with change agents, outliers, superheroes, and truly conscious leaders modeling what it is to be an unstoppable force for good and truth in this world. What lit these catalysts on fire to do their work, and what nuggets of wisdom can they share with a world literally on fire? I'm your host, Stephanie Traeger. I'm a transformational catalyst and life coach to maverick change agents in business, leadership, and life. On this podcast, I wear an eclectic mix of hats, including earthkeeper, wayfinder, truth teller, coach, lawyer, business, and impact strategist. My intention is holding space for higher purpose, peak wellness, soul mastery, and deeper impact so we can live in harmony with ourselves, each other, and nature. Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. If you love it, please share and spread the word. We're on YouTube and all the podcast platforms. See the show notes on catalysttalks.com for links and enjoy this episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Catalyst Talks podcast. This is a beautiful conversation I'm about to have with my friend Tali Orad. She is the founder or co-founder of a beautiful organization called OneTrillion.org, or the One Trillion Movement. It's an NGO with the mission to collectively make a meaningful global impact by bringing communities together to plant trees and help mitigate the effects of climate change. Tali is an engineer by trade and a TEDx speaker and a serial entrepreneur. And we'll talk about how her pivots in the past has really supported her in this journey as an NGO founder and a community supporter. Her mission is beautiful, and she's founded other NGOs as well, including her first one, which was after she saved the life of a dying baby, resulting in her finding an organization around raising awareness for CPR education. Tali is a Thrive guest contributor and the host of the Butterfly Effect podcast, and she's a frequent speaker, and she believes in the power of people to make a change and hopes with the help of other people, she can help our planet. And so we go into this conversation and we talk about our mutual love for trees and all of the things. So stay tuned for that episode. I would like to take a moment to bring a word from our sponsor, and that is The Journey of Increase. If you have not yet seen The Journey of Increase, it is a program or a unprogram, a program to deprogram our subconscious beliefs and thought patterns so that we may tap into and align to the frequencies of that which we'd like to create in our own lives, in our communities, and collectively. Journey of Increase is a 90-day transformational self-guided program, and you can find that and all the details at journeyofincrease.com. I am currently on day number 3. This is probably my, 20th time around the sun with this beautiful program. And I'm telling you, you manifest miracles, and you upgrade and evolve in the process. So check it out, journeyofincrease.com. And now enjoy this episode. Welcome, Tali. It is so wonderful to have you here on Catalyst Talks. We are brought together today by our love for the trees, our love for nature, our abilities to heal nature. And I'm really excited to learn more about you, your mission, and to share and inspire our listeners with some insights. I'm really inspired by your work, and you have a background as an engineer. You're an author, you host the Butterfly Effect podcast, and you founded several NGOs. Your mission, aiming to plant our planet together with communities that improves the quality of life while mitigating climate change, really inspires me. And I look forward to unpacking that with you. So let's dive in. So why and how do you bring communities together to plant trees? And how are you mitigating climate change? I mean, that's obvious. It seems obvious, but it's not always obvious, right? And what inspired this pivot for you? That's what I'm really curious to unpack. So let's just start today with what's top of mind for you, Tali, as the founder and co-creator of the One Trillion Movement. Yeah, tell us how you are and what's top of mind for you.
Okay, this is exciting, Stephanie. Thank you for having me on the show. It's first time being on the other side, so it's pretty...
We know.
yes, it's exciting. So you have a lot of questions in that one question. So I'll unpack it slowly and say that I was always drawn to nature. I mean, even as a kid, realizing now in retrospect, that was not natural for me to go sprout an avocado seed and plant it with my grandparents at their house and see that tree grow and bring joy to everybody, and shade, and fruits, beautiful fruits to the family. So apparently that's not normal. But I do love hiking. I do love being in nature. I do love gardening. And my career path was actually engineering, as you mentioned. I was a hardware software engineer. I was doing that for many years. And I loved it. I cannot deny not loving it. And then I was just in a conference when I was asked if there is one thing that you can magically fix, right? No question asked, right? The genie in the bottle. What would it be? And people were saying social inequality, poverty, all those things that really are important. I will never say they're not. And I was last to answer, and I came as an expert on a different field. And I said, well, you probably expect me to say ABC. But I said climate. And honestly, I don't know why I said climate. If you ask me, what was there anything related to climate in that conference? Nothing. That was pre-pandemic, early 2019. And that was my answer. I went home, went back to my day job. And I think it was 2 weeks later, this report came out saying that if we plant 3.04 trillion trees, and trillion is like 1 and 12 zeros behind it. So it's a huge number. If we'll do that, we can stop climate change. Now it's stopping. Then we need to work on fixing. So it's a lot of work, but there is something. And as a person that deals with numbers, it's like, okay, it's just a numbers game. Let's just figure out how we just solve it, right? We need to fundraise to plant those trees, find a place that are most impactful to plant them. They are relevant to be planted there. Diverse, right? Support the biodiversity. It's not just let's plant whatever we want, wherever we want. So I had the idea and gathered incredible people around me, and we were about to do something really big, and then COVID hit. So dialing back and say, okay, we still found a little bit of money. We're not going to just say, well, COVID here, then we're not going to do anything. So we ended up supporting small tree planting. And it wasn't necessarily communities, but it was small tree planting. It was either big one, we did part of it, or we did communities. And we noticed that when we plant with a community, there is a bigger impact. It's not just, okay, we'll do a tree. The tree is giving us water, shelter, food, clean air, right? Basic stuff. But there's also something else when the community gets involved. It's understanding that us as humans are part of this ecosystem. And it's not nature and humans, it's nature with humans. And when we did the planting with the community, we noticed that change. So this is what I've been doing so far. And this is it. I hope I answered all the questions.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean by what was the change that you noticed?
With the people?
Yeah. Well, you said you noticed a change, right? So that we aren't just nature and humans. We are nature, right? So what was the change that you saw?
So I'll give an example, right? One of the pivotal projects we had was in Kenya, and it's a small village, 2.5 hours southeast of Nairobi. There was no sanitation. There's no running water, obviously no internet, right? No electricity. And we were there supporting the tree planting with the community, with the school. So the kids, through an educational program, had a learning experience of let's sprout the seeds, let's get them to plant, let's see the process. But we also understood that this community needs a few more things. So as I said, there's no running water, no sanitation, poverty. So it's also malnutrition. So part of the planting was moringa. And moringa is really good in terms of nutrition. And those trees will give value. Now they already do, right? But back then will give value to the community in terms of nutrition and in terms of they can sell leaves and get a proceeds and bring back income for the community. So it's just a tiny example, but through that, clean water stations were added. It wasn't a project related to us, but it was a project that the gray water was channeled to water those trees that the kids planted. And compost toilets that replaced a pit toilet that contaminated the underground water. Again, not our project, But the moment that I noticed the change was the moment I woke up to getting a video and literally standing in front of my computer crying. My husband is like, what happened? Like, nothing. You have to see that. The community sang happy birthday to the compost.
The community sang happy birthday to the compost.
Exactly. Before putting it on the trees. Mm. So now you understand the connection. It's not the connection of transactional one. It's not, I'll plant you, water you, nourish you, and you'll give me the fruits or you'll give me the timber. Is something more. So that community gets shade, get nutrition, get steady income, right? And get a lot more.
And what do we get? What do we receive from their embracing and flourishing with this process?
What do we get?
Yeah, that's a test question. I'm listening because I hear you say they're singing. To me, it's so, this piece about singing to the compost is such a huge, like, wow, we get, what does that mean? How do we learn how to do that, right? There's so much we get to learn. So what are some of the learnings that you took away from there that you're bringing forward into your next project?
So it's definitely understanding what does the community need. And not just what Mother Nature needs. So we go back to the report saying we need more than 3 trillion trees planted. Okay, we're not just going to plant them because we're going to plant them understanding what human need and what Mother Nature need and try to find the middle ground because balance is key for everything here too. So what do we need? We need to balance. We also need, and you said that about going back to that moment of singing, I go back to walking in nature. What do I get when walking in nature? And I don't know if any of the listeners know, but there is the concept of Shinrin-yoku, which is forest bathing, walking in nature mindfully. What does it mean for you when you walk in nature? I can close my eyes and feel the dropping temperature, feel my heart rate slowing down. Feel the smile go up in my face, right? See my dog so excited walking outside. So what do we get? We get so much more. And trees were known to be supporting our mental health in addition to our physical health. So
I love that you as an engineer saw this in the beginning as a numbers game. And there's actually, have you ever heard of the book Psychic Numbing or the concept Psychic Numbing? It's such a beautiful thing that numbers people exist because I'm not really a numbers person yet, though psychic numbing is a really interesting phenomenon. There's a book, I forgot the name of the author. I think it's Paul something. So I'll put that in the show notes. We put all the links to where you can find Dolly and her work and everything we'll mention in the show notes. But psychic numbing is this phenomenon that it's like when there's these numbers that are so big, like 10 million deaths or right. These numbers that are so big, it's like too hard to conceptualize or anchor that we numb out. It's like, okay, whatever. Right. Or we look at what's going on with climate and numb out because it's like, this a whole thing over there. So I love that you approached it that way and it became something so much more alive, right? Each number had a life and was a potential seed with a potential community and a potential healing.
And also you mentioned the numbing. The numbing also comes not just with the numbers. It comes with the frustration and depression. I mean, when I read any research that comes out at the beginning, it's depressing. It really is depressing. And when it's depressing, it's paralyzing. And as you said, it's numbing. And all I want to do is kind of like, okay, closing my eyes, putting my head in the sand, I'm going to make it disappear. But it's not going to disappear. So what can I do to change it? And for me to change, I need to think of hope. I need to think of, okay, what is it that I can do that will be helpful and hopeful, not just for me, but for others. Mm-hmm. And this is the planting with the communities. And I can say, okay, these are small scale planting. It's not millions and millions of trees in one area. It's a few thousands. But that few thousands are going to grow. And that community in Kenya, we started with a small number. They expanded it. We just, gave them the seed as venture capital for the seeds, right? And now from just a few trees, it's now thousands of trees. Mm-hmm. And it's the understanding that your one action can make a big difference, even if it's just one, just like voting. If we all vote, we can make a difference. If we all plant a tree, we can make a difference. If we can all decide that we drop eating meat, right, one day a week even, it's going to make a difference. So just little things. And if we go into, I can't deal with that, it's so depressing, I just going to change the channel, I'm just going to pick the happy news. So there are happy eco news of communities that do that, happy eco news on changing areas of cleaning oceans, happy eco news on so many things. We just need to subscribe to those channels and just focus on that and continue with that hopeful notion, and we can make a difference.
Beautiful. I love that. And I actually wonder, when you said climate, I started the journey of about 30 something years ago as a forest activist, and the word climate wasn't a thing. We knew that the climate changed in the area when the trees were clear cut and the mountainsides were bare. Like, it went from temperate rainforest to hot, 10 degrees hotter. You know, it really like significantly would change. And that was in the 90s. And so when you said climate, you know, like, I see you as a tree planter or a tree healer or a whatever it is, right? It's more around forests and environment. It's the environment. And climate is a numbing number. To me, it's a numbing word. I mean, it's so big. It's so, it definitely was, you know, an intentional word that was agreed upon by intentional curators of a narrative. So when you dropped in and you said climate without really knowing why you said that, when you said it, were you thinking trees? Were you thinking forest, nature? Like, what were you thinking?
What was I thinking when I was saying climate? You mean back then when I was asked the question on magic?
Yeah, your heart was like climate, right? Was it nature? Was it environment? Was it, what was the pull? Because that word by itself is so big.
It's environment. It's totally environment and nature.
Yeah.
I see myself as an environmentalist.
I feel like we've moved far away. There's sort of been an intentional navigation away from that word. That's why I'm bringing this up. I'm curious, do you see that in your journey? Because, right, climate replaced that. And there was always this kind of divide between the environmentalists and the them and it's such a, like a, it was such a divisive word. I would love for humanity to come together around that word. And instead of saying we need a new word, like to find healing around that word, the identification as an environmentalist, you know?
What I notice is everybody has their own vocabulary and things that they relate to. And for me, it's just, I will go with whatever word you find that you relate with, as long as it's the end goal. It's, and I like that you said, what were you feeling? It's the same feeling.
Yeah.
Because my background is different from yours, right? I'm an Israeli, right? I didn't grow up in America. So I have a different perspective on things. Mm-hmm. I'm also an engineer. So I work with like patterns and numbers and finding solutions. And sometimes in nature, you cannot just say, okay, let me plant now. And I know now it's spring, so it's perfect time for planting. Yet 2 months ago, it wasn't. It's winter. And as much as I want to, I cannot plant. I live in New York. I cannot plant trees in New York in the winter. It just doesn't work. Or I cannot go and plant in Africa not in the raining season. So even though I want to apply my solution right now, I cannot. So go back to, okay, and this is the same with our community. What is the thing what is our common ground? How do you define your common ground and my common ground? And it usually is the same. We may just use different words to describe it. So your climate can be associated with something negative. For me, climate is a word that will go with, these people understand it, these people does not. Okay, fine.
I absolutely love the name of your movement, of 1 trillion movement. So where did you receive that name? And tell us about the organization.
Oh, it's interesting. It was given to it by one of our ambassadors, Dr. Vishal. He's a very close friend. And when I came up with a few names, he's like, 1 trillion. Okay, you're right. And 1 trillion with a double E. So it has the tree in it. And that's it. That's how 1 trillion got its name. And as I said at the beginning, our goal was to plant our planet. Let's just plant for the sake of planting. And as we progress, we understood that once we bring communities in, we make a change. And then we also noticed as, so back up, we have planted in 10 countries so far. Wow. And we supported 12 communities. And it's incredible to see the change. When I look at research and I look at survival rate, and you look at United States forestry, survival rate of big planting, big tree planting is between 2 to 19%. Meaning for every 100 trees you plant, best case scenario, 19 trees survived. The rest die. In our case, the average is 80%. Wow. So for every, it's exactly the opposite, right? For every 100 trees, 80 of them survived. And why is that? Because the community took care of it. Because the community was there to notice, oh, wait, the soil is too dry. Oh, wait, there is something that we need to, I don't know, we need to fence it because the animals are just loving this tree too much. Those things make a difference. And they make a difference in the long run, in the numbers game, right? If we need to plant 3 trillion trees, and we plant them and just, I don't know, quarter of them survived versus the majority of them survived. That's an impact on our planet. And if we want to stop climate change, and I go back to that word on purpose, we have to do it. And I know you don't like that word, but I want
to. No, I do. The way you just said it, it makes sense, right? If we want to stop the change of the climate, right? When you grow trees, you are, it's getting cooler. So absolutely.
Yes. So one thing that I want to pause on is climate change is not Mother Earth's problem. It's just not. It's our problem. So if we want to live in a place, in a planet that is livable, that doesn't have natural disaster or frequent natural disasters, and it has water, temperature are decent, we need to do something. And again, if we're not here, Mother Earth will heal itself. It has done it so many times, right? Look back at the dinosaurs. The question, do we want to be here? And if we want to be here, we need to get our act together and make a change. And the change is, right, in everything you can think of towards climate. I'm working on planting trees with communities, but there is green energy. There is cleaning the oceans. There's all other aspects. And it's not just one silver bullet. I'm not going to tell you, let's just do planting trees, because there isn't just one solution. It's all solution and it's all solutions now.
Yes, it is. And one thing I also love to throw into that mix is our inner work, because one of the way I hear when you're working with communities, like it's such a healing, it is a healing balm for humanity, right? To work together, to sing, to compost, to bring in you, whatever the cultural norms are of that place, right? To, and for us as even in the Western world or modern world to learn around the frequency. So if you're talking about singing to compost, why am I hooked on that? Because I'm a student and transmitter of our abilities to really access and work with frequencies. And that's like science, like the science of energy and how compost is life, right? Water is life, compost is life, everything is life. If everything's alive, then wouldn't we want to raise the frequency of it so that it has that? Wow, what if of the 100 trees planted, say, where only 19 or 2 survive, if they had whatever soil sung to, what would, how would that change their chances of life? So what are some of the things that you've learned personally from these places, these communities that are embracing your work?
That's a very good question. What did I learn? I learned to listen and not come with, I know what needs to be done. No, I don't. You do. You do what works with you. You do know what works with your community. You do know if it's jobs that is needed, if it's education that is needed, if it's food that it's needed. I can come and say, okay, these are the trees that are best for your ecosystem, but you will tell me, well, we have planted them, but then this and that happened. So we try to understand, okay, why it happened. And then what do you think? Where are you coming for it, right? So if we plant, what we try to do is 80% that is native and an additional 20% that support the communities, just like the Moringa. It can be in Guatemala planting fruit trees. So you support food, right? The community has food. It can be an agroforestry project that you have the crops growing with trees. So again, going back to what did I learn? It's the listening. And be humble to whatever they say. And then, okay, great. Now I understand it. Now let's do it. I had a community that we could not listen. I was advising and they were not listening. And it was just clashing and realizing, you know what? It's just not working. It's just not that. You have your own perspective on life. We have our own perspective on life. It's just not working. And it's okay. It's okay. So listening, coming together. What else did I learn? Listen to science. I've met the people that did the research of let's plant 3.04 trillion trees. And it was funny. They were at a session when I was talking in Davos and we were talking afterwards and they said, you do know it's not just that. It doesn't end with that. I said, yes, I know. We read the rest of your science. There are other research that came out. And he said, I'm happy to, because not everybody do that. And then for that research, there were a lot of backlash. A lot of people were planting monocrop with the same tree, right? You can look at plantations. Plantations are not good for the environment. They're not good for us for so many reasons, right? And you can go and say, well, I've read the research. We need to plant more than 3 trillion trees. Yes, but there is another one. So read the science, understand it, listen to it and apply it. Don't think that you know best. And I guess the last one is, I don't think I know best. I always, always, always learn from the people I speak with the people I interview, with the communities I work with, from children, from adults. I'm always learning.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Do you work with foresters? Have you ever kind of integrated professional foresters into the projects?
Some of them, yes. Some projects do have professional foresters. In Armenia, that's the case. So we are restoring a corridor for the animals, and that's working with foresters. They will be the one supporting that project, making sure there's no poaching and no cutting down the trees. And some of the community that live around it are getting jobs to work in that project as well. So it's not like just a forester there. Because if we connect the disconnect between the community that live around it and the expert, then we get the conflict. Oh, wait, this is in an area that I want to put a field in, or this is an area I go with my sheep.
There's a lot of disciplines required, right, to bring communities together and all the stakeholders to connect and communicate. So far you've mentioned forests that include Moringa. Moringa is a plant, a tree. It's a tree, right? With herbal, the leaves have herbal qualities and the fruit is edible. So you're planting edible forests, you're planting corridors for wildlife, which I love, 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 love. What are some of the other, because you said you have about 12 projects. What are some of the other amazing stories?
Do you have all day? No. Okay, so I'll try to focus just on two. So one is Guatemala, and we have actually three projects in Guatemala. I was in one of them. One was the community came together during COVID, actually, to support a tree planting, and that forest that were planted was in memory of the people that died of COVID in that community. Mm-hmm. So it was a memorable forest. I love that idea. I love that concept. And I love that cemetery is not bare. It's not dry. It's actually bringing life. And you can always go back to that tree and remember and sit next to it and connect with your loved ones and not just leave flowers. So that's one project that I loved. Thank you. Another project that we did was in Tanzania. We have planted with the children at the school and in the east of Sambara Mountain. And the beauty of that project is that peasant women were working at the nursery and earning a living, taking care of those seedlings before the kids went and planted them. So it's all those little things, right?
So beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. Like a divine necklace.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm excited to share that we are soon going to be going to Ukraine and start restoring a forest in Ukraine with the local community, provide jobs there and to the foresters and some of the locals, and, you know, start bringing hope. We were talking about hope at the beginning. Bringing hope and restoration to this war-torn land and war-torn people. And I see nothing but nature to bring hope.
That's tweetable if I had Twitter. So we met through our mutual friend, David Homan, who was also on Catalyst Talks on the podcast. And I love the beautiful process of the impact ask. And so in this amazing offering that you are bringing to humanity and bringing to Mother Nature and all of her beings, what is your impact ask?
If David were here, he will be mad at me.
You are on the spot.
Here we go, because I'm terrible in the ask. And I guess this is why David put us together.
Dig into your heart and like just release.
Yes. Honestly, there are places that need to be planted, and there are places that will get the most impact. I was giving the example of Ukraine, and we're heading to Ukraine. The best help will be for us right now is getting a funding support. Mm-hmm. So anybody that can just go to the website, and I know the link is going to be there, but it's onetrillion.org. Just click on donate. Every dollar goes to the trees. Every dollar goes to support that community.
And I'll just say that's the number one, and it's TRELLION.
LLION.
Yep. onetrillion.org. Beautiful. And are you documenting any of these things? Like how can people see some of the magic?
So go on our website. It's onetrillion.org. There is a page of where we plant. You will see, I think you will also see the happy birthday to the compost there. You'll see all the projects, what we have done, images, videos, everything is there. Ukraine is obviously not there yet. It will be once we plant. I am not disclosing locations right now just to keep people safe. And when I will be back, I promise to report and share and put everything there so you'll be able to see. But those will be 20,000 trees with the community. And we're thinking of also involving some of the kids in that region that stayed and helping them. One of the things we noticed is a lot of PTSD, right? Post-traumatic stress. Mm. We were talking about forest bathing and the value in trees in mental health. So bringing those kids with us to the forest, letting them feel like kids for just a little bit. I know they're back to normal as much as they can, and unfortunately, that's their normal. But I want them to touch the soil. I want them to play with it. I want them to feel the joy. I'll ask for their permission before I take the photo, but if I get it, I will share. I promise.
It's so beautiful. Love every single thing about everything you're doing. And I'm curious, Tali, because so many people have a dream or are inspired to, as you were mentioning, all of the ways, you know, all of the things that we can be doing right now. And some of it does feel so big. Where do I start? That numbing piece. What you were doing before you said, I'm going to do this project. So I just kind of want to feel into it's like the effect on you. The effect on you feeling this aligned in the sense of purpose and contribution. And what is the change? Like, how has that changed you as a person from the work you were doing before? and like, you know, the courage it took to pivot and say, I'm doing this. I know that you've had a lot of pivots. If like anyone reads your story, they'll see you've done a lot of different things. And so that might be, one of your superpowers. But tell us about that. Like, what does it feel like right now to be that on purpose? And how was it from before what you were doing?
So as you mentioned, I did a lot of pivots, right? I'm a serial entrepreneur. And I feel like life has thrown me different curveballs in different situations. And I was trying my best just, manage and deal with them and take it to the next level. And with 1 trillion, it just feel like this is it. I don't think another curveball is going to be sent towards my way. It's going to be challenging. It's not easy. And I'm not the only one planting trees, but the fulfillment feeling and the joy that you get knowing you help the community, that is it. That is it to keep me going towards the next one. And it's not like there's no challenges, right? You ask me about my ask and I ask for money. We're all struggling right now with mm-hmm. funding. We all need funding. Economy is terrible, right? Recession and people are losing jobs. And I'm coming and say, well, let's go plant trees. And people say, well, let's first figure out how I'm feeding my family. I said, it doesn't contradict because you can mm-hmm. feed your family and support Mother Nature. Just need to figure out how to balance the two. So I hope I will be able to, do what I promised. If not, I will continue doing and reach it or get close to it. Mm. And if not, I just hope I inspired somebody else to do it. Because if it's not me and it's you somewhere listening and you went and you planted trillion trees, thank you.
There's this beautiful story of a hummingbird and there's this giant forest fire. And this hummingbird, this little bird is flying to the river and picking up its little water with its beak and bringing it over to the fire and keeps going back and forth. Have you seen this? And then there's I think it's a mountain lion or in whatever mythology, there might be a different animal. And it says, what are you doing? You think you're going to make a difference? And he says, well, this is all I can do. I have to do something. And, I had mentioned that we're going on a mission to Colombia to go and learn some of the beautiful codes and secrets of the ancient civilization, the Kogi people. They are a tribe in Colombia. And I'm bringing them up because what you just said really speaks to this so beautifully. It's the moment we're in right now around what our individual needs are and how the universe works in reciprocity when we give back. It's not like, oh, I'm at this point in my life, I have so much I can give back. It's this constant reciprocity of saying thank you and making. So the Kogi make payments, make pagamentos to Mother Earth. That's how, if anything is stuck, if there's any rift, any energy that needs moving or any healing or anything, it's making payments. Where are we out of reciprocity and right relationship with our mother who provides everything? And so we are become so disconnected from planting trees and actually like here giving money to support the planting of trees because I can't plant trees today. I'm like, how is that actually going to feed my family even though I'm not even touching the trees? Like it's that beautiful frequency, that boomerang that is absolutely working 24/7. It's not part-time, it's not like only when we want to manifest something do we tap in, right? It's like all the time. Right. So have you seen in your stepping in and saying yes, because obviously this mission was given to you, right? It landed in your heart that day and it's been given to you. I've heard you say that. So do you feel like you have experienced a flourishing of that reciprocity for saying yes?
Well, first of all, I got to meet all incredible people and right, you as one of them mm-hmm. that are you landing a helping hand. And if I'm supporting communities and I have no community supporting me, then I will not be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's having that community show up in moments that I didn't even expect it, but apparently needed. It can even be a friend that will just call me in the middle of the day where I'm sitting in front of my computer stuck on something. And she's like, so talk to me. Like, there's nothing to talk about. No, talk to me, right? And it's those little things. It's the, I can't think of concrete examples, but it's definitely those moments of either I need the support, the community needed the support. I had a project in, so the project I was talking about in Tanzania, it was, they reached out to me, and like every project that reached out to me, I need right to support, need to find a donor for it. And by coincidence, a company reached out to me and asking me, can we offset our emissions with you? And I said, well, we're not supporting offset of emissions. However, we can plant a forest in your honor if you like to. She said, well, that's brilliant. Talk to me a little bit more about it. I said, well, you'll be supporting community in Tanzania. You'll be planting X amount of trees. You will be getting this certificate. So that was just, you know, a coincidence, but I know they aren't, right? But as a company wanted to give some support and get their, I don't know if it was, they were feeling like they need to do something or not, it doesn't matter. And then there is the other side, there is the community that needed the support. I was able to connect them. It came at the same time. And now we have, what, 5,500 trees planted thanks to that. So that's, there.
Wow.
That was pretty incredible.
Wow. And,
I mean, I was mentioning the concept of offsetting, and I just want to clarify on that. Yeah. Whomever know me and worked with me before know that I'm a huge, if there's a word for against, advocate.
Naysayer. I'm with you on this. I know where you're going.
Yes, on offsetting emissions, that's me. And I was reached out so many times. You'll be able to fundraise easily if you've offset emissions. You'll be able to sell carbon credits if you offset emissions. That will be amazing for you. And you'll be able to support more communities. And I'm like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
But it's more than just doesn't feel right. It's a lot of wild, wild west there. There is no standard. Anybody can do it. As I was saying about the 19% survival rate. So you can offset and think that you did that. And 19 trees survive. So you're continuing to offset. Mm-hmm. In theory, you are, but you're not. So mm-hmm. who is going to be the one checking every single day? And there isn't mm-hmm. any check and balance here. So that's one thing. And the second thing is, I want you to feel responsible. I want you to feel responsible to what your actions are. And if you want to do something good for the environment, think of how you can cut your emission and not offset them. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I fly, I drive a car. So I do need to offset and I do need to plant trees or do other things. However, I try to avoid and I take public transportation as much as I can. I try to question how much I purchase and not purchase too much. I try to eat less meat. So I do what I can, and this is where going back to try to be more conscious of our actions. And when a company reach out to me and say, I want to offset, I want them to think of what is in their supply chain they can change so they don't have to offset as much. I'm not saying not offset completely, but not offset as much.
So there's a huge opportunity, right, that you have. And I've seen organizations do this, and it really, everything that we have that has a name, including carbon credits and offsetting, right? These were branded somehow and they yeah. sounded good. And then they took, and then, you know, it's like became a thing. So like, what about the one trillion movement creating another thing, right? It's like, so the next company that calls and says that, and we could talk offline about this, I had a really good idea. The next company that calls to say that, it's like, how about doing XYZ, like what you said instead? And then like, these things are all going in their impact report or their sustainability report or their blah, blah, ESG, whatever, you know, and kudos for like saying yes to stepping into that vortex. And like, what if there's something new? Like, we're creating a new dialogue, we're creating a new vocabulary for our future. And it's like the organizations like yours and the Plastic Bank. I had the founder of Plastic Bank, David Katz, on before, and they created something called Social Plastic. That wasn't a thing before. You know, it's like, why do you need virgin plastics? They're social plastic. It's creating new words. And if we don't create them, then someone else is going to fill the gap, right? In terms of how it fits in the branding of wherever that movement's going. So
I love it. Yeah.
I love, yeah, such a great opportunity. Let's, I have some good ideas.
Perfect.
All right. So I am so excited to share this episode, and this is like so tip of the iceberg. There's so much more you can discover about Tali, everybody. So we're going to share all of her contact information and where you can find more about the 1 trillion movement and how you can support. If you have anyone else that you might want to share this with that you think would be a great support, I know that there are tons of people out there who are wanting to support efforts and missions like this, and it's literally just the match. And so as we drop this into the hearts of millions, may this land in the right place for more of that support to come your way. Yeah. Is there anything else, like one last nugget of wisdom or insight or inspiration you'd like to share?
I would say that will be a personal thing. And I started by saying how I was an atypical child and sprouted an avocado seed. So my ask will be maybe during this weekend, either if you eat an avocado and you want to sprout it, there's plenty of YouTube videos on how to do it. It takes a few weeks, and even then it takes more time. But it doesn't have to be that. You can just walk in nature and just sit next to a tree, just observe it, just connect to it. Feel the soil underneath you, touch it, touch the tree, feel the texture. Just connect for a little bit with that magical ancient being. And remember, we are all sharing the same planet. And come out from that forest, from that work, from even if it's the tree in your backyard or on the pavement, on the, you know, on the street, on the way to work, just give it a minute and then think, what is it that you can do to make this world a better place?
That's so beautiful. Let everybody receive that. I want to share what you just inspired me was my neighbor. He's an arborist, and he was here looking at one of my trees that on the land that I steward. And we were just chatting, and he's like, how many people walk by acorns all the time? Like, does anyone plant them? All you need to do is plant them. Like, we see them, we see seeds everywhere. You know, maybe they won't all sprout, but one will.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity and for giving me the space to be on the other side of the microphone.
Yeah, check out The Butterfly Effect. We'll have a link to Tali's podcast as well. And yeah, thank you for the work you're doing. It's big.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Catalyst Talks. Stay tuned for what's up next, and please subscribe to our podcast and rate us wherever you listen. You'll find these all at catalysttalks.com. Join the conversation on social media. And if you'd like to reach out, please send me, Stephanie, a private message through stephanietraeger.com. Your attention means the world to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you.